The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the March-April issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to start off with the insert, Fast Facts. First, we have Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. Fast Facts, in his second full season as the Eagles' starting quarterback, Hurts blossomed into one of the best players in the league as Philadelphia started 11-1. He threw for 2,940 yards with 20 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions. Hurts, a second-round draft pick out of Oklahoma in 2020, also rushed for 690 yards and 9 TDs. And then we have a basketball player. Okay, Donovan Mitchell, shooting guard of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Fast Facts, after being traded to the Cavaliers from the Jazz during the offseason, Mitchell helped Cleveland get off to a great start, scoring at least 30 points in 8 of his first 10 games. In 5 seasons with Utah, Mitchell made 3 All-Star teams. He got the nickname Spider because of his long arms and his love of Spider-Man. Now we're going to go to page 8, and we're going to go to our last line of Who's Who in Sports. Sandy Alcantara, Miami Marlins pitcher. His height is 6'5". His weight is 200 pounds. He was born September 7, 1995. His hometown, Azua, Dominican Republic. Following a season in which he went 14-9 with a 2.28 ERA, Alcantara was named the National League Cy Young Award winner in a unanimous vote. He led the National League in WAR 8.0 and innings pitched as he made the All-Star team for the second time in his career. Alcantara had 6 complete games more than any team. Alcantara became the third Cy Young winner from the Dominican Republic after Pedro Martinez, who won 3 times, and Bartolo Colon. Let's go up a little bit. Back to the first line. Taylor Mike Sell, Ohio State Buckeyes, guard. In 2021, Mike Sell averaged 18.6 points per game and was second in the country in three-point percentage at 47.5%. She returned to Ohio State for a 5th season and averaged 17.8 points through the Buckeyes' first 26 games. Before transferring to OSU, Mike Sell played for Maryland and Oregon. Her height is 5'11". She was born September 3, 1999, in her hometown, Massillon, Ohio. But did you know Mike Sell was able to play a 5th season because athletes were given an extra year to compensate for the pandemic-shortened 2020 campaign? And finally, we have a runner, Caitlin Tui, North Carolina State Wolfpack. Her height is 5'4". She was born March 18, 2002, hometown, Stony Point, New York. Last November, Tui won the women's individual NCAA title in cross country and helped North Carolina State win the team championship. Then in January, she set the NCAA record for the indoor mile, 4:24.26. And 2 weeks later, she took more than 6 seconds off the 3,000-meter record with a time of 8:35.20. But did you know the women's world record in the mile is 4:12.33, set by Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands in 2019? Now, how about some National League top 5 baseball? 1. New York Mets. Can anything slow down Justin Verlander? Injuries? Nope. He missed almost 2 entire seasons with Tommy John surgery, then bounced back last year with an 18-4 record and a 1.75 ERA for the Astros. Age? Nah. He did all that at age 39. He was understandably in demand in the offseason and wound up signing with the Mets for 2 years and $86,666,666. Guy like six is apparently. He'll bolster what was already one of the league's better rotations. While the acquisition of a new player of Verlander's caliber was huge, the Mets also made several key moves in the offseason just by re-signing existing talent. The most significant players retained were closer Edwin Diaz, who averaged nearly 2 strikeouts per inning, and outfielder Brandon Nimmo. A 101-win team a year ago, New York was able to add without significant losses. High sigh. The Mets welcomed Verlander, whose Cy Young win in 2022 was the third of his career. Snap judgment versus the human element. Strike 3! Also, death to humans. The robots are coming. It's just a matter of time. This season, pitches at the All-AAA games will be called by automated technology. The ump will still get to signal the pitch. This is bad for a number of reasons. Not the least of which is, what if the robot becomes self-aware and rise up? Technology has been encroaching on ump for years. Replay challenges, which tend to be interminable and not always right, are reviewed remotely. If balls and strikes are going to be called by technology, it's only a matter of time before calls on the bases are as well. A few years ago, umpire Jim Joyce blew a call that cost a pitcher a perfect game. It wasn't the end of the world. It was a reminder that the game is played by humans, and all humans make mistakes. Atlanta Braves, number 2. No franchise in recent history has turned out as many amazing starting pitchers as the Braves. Last year, Max Fried finished second in Cy Young voting, and Kyle Wright won a league-best 21 games. The next hurdle to become a star could be Spencer Strider. That's assuming he's not already considered one. He averaged 13.8 strikeouts per 9 innings last year in his first full season in the bigs. And if you're worried that the Braves turn out only pitchers, consider this. Strider finished second in Rookie of the Year voting. The winner was his teammate, Michael Harris II, who hit .297 with power. All of that youth might mean Atlanta is a year or two from its peak. But what a peak it could be. For 3, San Diego Padres. While the Dodgers opted not to make any massive moves, the team that knocked them out of the playoffs didn't just double down on its commitment to winning. It quintupled down. San Diego gave a huge contract to free agent shortstop Xander Bogaerts, who becomes the 5th natural shortstop on the roster. Who play where? Who knows? But it's a good problem for manager Bob Melvin to have, since there are great hitters, all great hitters. The glut of infielders likely means Fernando Tatis Jr. will move to the outfield when he returns from his PED suspension in April. He'll have something to prove, which could make the already scary Padres lineup even more frightening. Number 4, the St. Louis Cardinals. How does a team whose top 3 starters go a combined 31-32 with a 3.74 ERA win 93 games and make the playoffs? By doing everything else well. Only 2 teams were in the top 5 in the majors in offensive and defensive WARR. The Yankees and the Cardinals. St. Louis lost one of the best defensive players in history when catcher Yadier Molina retired, but the Cards replaced him with free agent Wilson Contreras, who is one of the better all-round backstop in the game. Whether St. Louis can win a second straight Central crown could come down to whether Paul Goldschmidt can continue to produce at age 36. Last year he had a WAR of 7.8 and an OPS plus of 180 as he won the National League MVP award. Number 5, Los Angeles Dodgers. Los Angeles had an interesting offseason. The Dodgers let shortstop Trey Turner and third baseman Justin Turner leave in free agency, sparking theories that they are trying to free up money to make a run at Shohei Ohtani next year. While those losses will hurt, L.A. has a deep farm system. And let's not forget, this is a team that won 111 games last year, the 4th most in history. That's a lot of wins. An early playoff loss took much of the luster off the season. But the fact remains that this is a team with a lot of resources that has won its division in 9 of the last 10 years. Some things you can set your watch to. Lefty Clayton Kershaw will be hard to hit, and the Dodgers will be the team everyone is chasing in the NL West. Next, we have a picture of a little tall guy here, waiting in the wings. Victor Wembanyama has Low Limoges power forward Wilfried Yaguette out beyond the three-point line on the left wing. Rocking side to side, the 7'3" Wembanyama stutter steps to his left. Then on a half beat, he floats off his left foot, raises the ball over his head, and flicks it with his right hand toward the rim, all in one motion. There's no name for this technique yet. Wembanyama has just unveiled it, a perfectly balanced one-leg running jumper from deep range. It resembles something someone might invent in a game of horse, but he spent the past several months privately honing this move. The ball touches nothing but net, and the arena erupts. This is what they came for. This is why fans in France lined up around the block for a chance to see Wembanyama play for his club, Metropolitans 92. To be dazzled by not only the most promising talent in France, but also the premier basketball prospect on the planet. This, as they call it here, is Wembanyamania. Last October, he arrived on global stage with a pair of spectacular showings against the NBA's G League Ignite team in Las Vegas, month before his 19th birthday. LeBron James, following the two games, described him as an alien. Wembanyama, who will almost certainly be the top pick in the NBA draft in June, is unlike any player to come before him. I can't really take role models, he explains, because when you're 6'2 versus 7'3, it's not the same sport. So the way I want to play, I've got to innovate and create new things. And he's just getting started. I've got to diversify my skills even more, he says, so people don't get bored. I want to exceed the expectations. Growing up outside of Paris, Wembanyama was a precocious child. He learned to read at age 3. He picked up basketball a few years later, and by 9 was helping his mother coach kids his age. Eventually, Wembanyama joined Nantes, a club in Paris. He began working with Karim Bombero, one of Nantes' youth coaches. Bokeri's marathon training sessions typically began with at least 2 hours of ball-handling work. He demanded his players bring a pair of soccer goalkeeper's gloves in a plastic bag to practice. The gloves helped develop finger precision, while the plastic bag was tied around the ball, making the kids bounce it forcefully. But what impressed Bokeri most was Wembanyama's mind. When Nantes would travel to tournaments to pass time, Bokeri would often read off random questions from a trivia game to test his players. Wembanyama has a wide range of interests, from science to comic books to art. Victor used to answer the weirdest questions, Bokeri recalls. On one occasion, as several players huddled inside a hotel room, Bokeri pulled a card he knew would stump him. "What bird can fly backwards?" he asked. Naturally, Wembanyama had the answer. El colibri, the hummingbird. They were flabbergasted, Wembanyama recalls. Karim thought I was joking, like I had just guessed a random bird. Those around Victor marveled at his capacity to store information. He's thirsty for knowledge, says Timberwolves star Rudy Gobert, who met Wembanyama 7 years ago and has since become a mentor. But Bokeri notes his former pupil's ability to learn something in a drill one day and unveil it in a game the next. He's able to reproduce moves very quickly, Bokeri says. That skill set applies off the court, too. Wembanyama taught himself English and speaks it comfortably. In Wembanyama's words, if I can learn something one time, I'm going to apply it for the rest of my life. After Nantes, Wembanyama joined ASVEL, a club in Lyon, owned by former Spurs star Tony Parker. Then last summer, he signed with Metropolitans, a team that had never finished higher than third in France's Pro A League. through mid-February, Wembanyama had the team in second place and was the league's MVP frontrunner. He also received his first senior call-up to the French national team in November. Wembanyama cites the Warriors of the 2010s as a model for the type of basketball that inspires him. They won, they enjoyed themselves, and they did it in style. Something I'm proud of in my life is that I've kept going this whole time, he says, and it required a lot of mental strength. Wembanyama has also received support from retired NBA center Ion Mahimi and Gobert. They have offered on-court insight, off-court counsel, and sometimes clothing that actually fits. During Victor's eight early teen years, Mahanini mailed him a loaded suitcase full of hand-me-downs and unworn gear. By all accounts, Wembanyama has managed to keep things in perspective. He carves out time to read before bed each night to take his mind off basketball. He prefers fantasy and science fiction. He began meditating daily in high school. I got so much stuff going through my mind, he says, I'm never bored. When you're an abnormal person, when you're tall, to excel, you first have to be comfortable with yourself, Mahini says. For him to be so special and to be already so comfortable so early, it's a very rare maturity. Wembanyama just wants to keep things fresh, to keep showing people who he is, to show something new every time. There's a fire inside me, a love, he says, something that's going to push me my whole life. I know. I mean, nothing's going to stop me. Trending. Jessica Pegula, World Tennis Association Pro. The 29-year-old is on the verge of her first Grand Slam title thanks to a gritty, cerebral playing style that's reminiscent of the NFL team her parents own. The Buffalo Bills were one of the NFL's best teams in 2022, winning 13 games and often dominating their opponents, but not always. Some of the team's wins were dirty, grinded-out affairs. For one fan in particular, those were the most meaningful victories. The perfect stuff when everything is clicking, great. But I like winning those games where you're playing bad. When maybe it was horrible statistically, but you're like, who cares? They won. Give me those tough conditions and gritty wins. Those are the observations of Jessica Pegula, who speaks from a position of knowledge and experience. Currently the number 4 ranked tennis player in the world, she's coming off a breakthrough World Tennis Association season that saw her win 42 singles matches and an additional 31 doubles matches, the most combined wins of any pro player in 2022, male or female. Generously listed at 5'7", she doesn't have a titanic serve or a splashy signature shot. She would not win a foot race against, say, her frequent doubles partner, Coco Gauff. But Jessica Pegula simply knows how to win, how to grind out victories. She also happens to be the daughter of Terry and Kim Pegula, owners of the Bills. Her dad, an engineer, bought the team in 2014. But growing up, Jessica, known to most as Jessie, was focused on another sport, tennis. Though not a top junior, she had enough success that the family moved to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and then to Florida, partly for her tennis. In her teens, Pegula was overshadowed by contemporary American players like Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys, and was recruited by top college programs. Thanks, but no thanks, she told them all. She continued to stay the course and tried to make it as a pro. She offset her modest arsenal of weapons by playing like the engineer's daughter she is, looking at matches as a series of problems to be solved, fitting the bill. In the early years of her pro career, Jessie could relate to the fate of the team of her parents had purchased. She had been born in 1994, just days after the Bills' last Super Bowl appearance. They have lost the big game for all 4 times they've appeared, and Buffalo had barely made the playoffs since. She turned pro in 2009 and for years was exiled outside the top 100, trying to work her way up tennis's equivalent of a depth chart. There were blown defeats, losing streaks, and there was wait till next year optimism. Pegula spent most of her time going from one far-flung event to the next. Coming from a family of great financial means, She took pains not to use the family's wealth to advance her career, much less flaunt it. Her parents might be billionaire sport team owners, but she was flying coach, staying with the other players at cheap motels by the interstate and trying to economize and stretch her meager prize money as far as it would go. She usually traveled without family members and made her own schedule and plans. We raised all our kids to be independent, Kim Pegula says. Success did not come quickly. Consider, in 2017, Pegula's last events took her to Macon, Georgia. Prize money, $407. Tyler, Texas, $1,216. Waco, Texas, $709. In Norman, Oklahoma, $126. She finished that year a season addled by injuries and surgery, ranked number 632 in the world. But when she asked herself an existential question, is this really what I wanted to be doing with my life? It only reinforced her determination and commitment. You're missing out on everything. You're missing out on birthdays and holidays, and you're traveling to these tournaments, Pegula says. But I would take time off, a week or two, or I would go somewhere. I would just always find myself not getting bored, but just being like, I miss playing. As she played, something interesting happened. For all the players who take pains to distance themselves from their colleagues, I was never here to make friends. Maria Sharapova once famously said, Pegula became part of a gravitational center. Her singles ranking is number 4. Her popularity ranking among her peers may be even higher. Her wedding last year drew all manner of players. Ringing everything from a style that's short of elegance and long on sweaty persistence and discipline, Pegula began turning her career around in 2019, finally winning more than she lost. Coincidence or not, it was right around the same time the Bills were doing the same. A year ago, Pegula seeded for the first time, reached the quarterfinals at the Australian Open. She then went on to make the quarters at the French Open and the United States Open. And in the first major of 2023, she again made the last 8 in Australia. Pegula squeezes in attending Bills games in person when she can, but she didn't make it to Buffalo once in the 2022 season. When she was touring, she was far more inclined to spend time with her mom, who was suffering from health problems last summer. Jessie had considered taking months entirely off, but realized tennis therapeutic powers. It ended up being a way to get my mind off things, she says. Not a lot of people can say this, but tennis was distressing. So I'm very thankful for that. End zone. What's the call? Achilles heel, number 1. For a reason known only to the SI kids, Treehouse founders, the winter thaw all draw brawl draw, CPA 33, is decided the same way as a draw in the knockout stages of the FIFA World Cup. Penalty kicks. Kip and Whitney each make the first 4 shots against the other. On his 5th kick, however, Kip shoots the ball over the net, giving Whitney a chance to walk off with the win. Whitney begins to approach the ball normally before turning around and running backward toward it. With her back facing the goal, she backheels the ball past the flummoxed Kip. He complains that turning around is an illegal feint and her goal shouldn't count. What's the call? Do 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 do. Backheeling a penalty kick is allowed as long as the ball moves forward. Whitney wins the winter thaw all draw brawl draw and buzzes over a high prize, a slinky. Number 2, safe travels. In a basketball game played under WNBA rules, Pittsfield Pirates guard Mary Sue received the ball at the top of the key. With Watertown Wranglers forward Angela Harris closely guarding her, Sue spins away. She lifts her pivot foot off the ground, then begins to dribble the ball before that foot touches the floor again. Harris immediately argued for a travel, but Sue claims she began dribbling before taking 2 steps. You're the referee. did she travel? Answer, Sue traveled. The ball has to be out of her hand before the pivot foot comes off the floor, not before it touches the floor again. Finally, time's up. The Canton Cane Toad and the Salem Salamanders are getting used to a pitch clock, just like the one used in a Major League Baseball this season. With no runners on base, Cane Toad pitcher Johnny Washington faces Salamander shortstop Fernando Guerra. The first pitch is a strike, and the 15-second timer begins. Washington and his catcher, however, have trouble agreeing on the next pitch. After finally picking a slider with 2 seconds left on the clock, Washington comes to the plate and the ball leaves his hand just after time expires. Guerra argues he didn't get the pitch off in time, and the count should automatically be 2-0. Is he right? Washington's pitch is legal, and he's not charged with the ball. The pitcher merely has to begin his motion before the clock expires, not release the ball. Trivia challenge. Wide receiver Jerry Rice and center Jim Otto are tied for the most first-team All-Pro selections in NFL history, with 10 each. Who leads all active players with 7 selections? Is it A, Aaron Donald, B, Bobby Wagner, C, Aaron Rodgers? Answer A, Aaron Rodgers. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.